everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you and my buddy, my pal, Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. Tom engineering and producing our show. We are all buckled up, seatbelt ready to do another hour loaded with content on this Thursday, November 18th, 2021. Tom, what is this I'm hearing about Thanksgiving and the possibility of some rain, which I would not mind?
Well, right now the National Weather Service is saying a 20% chance.
20%.
But they're also saying sunny skies.
Sure. Yeah, you know how that goes. When it says 20, maybe we'll get something. We'll see. Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We have been on the radio here in town closing out 11 years at the end of the year, 22 years for me before this over on Channel 6. So we've been in town a while. And right now we are in town on 1030. Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Our radio station is KVOI, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Buckmastershow.com is also the place for all of our programs. I'd say 95% of the programs we've done since we launched the radio show in first week of January in 2011 are posted at buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. With me in studio, Howard Stewart, the president and CEO of AGM Container Controls, a manufacturing company that under Howard's leadership has been recognized by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce as America's best small business for the year of 2009. In 2002, the Tucson Metro Chamber recognized Howard as Tucson's Business Leader of the Year. 2018, Howard was recognized as Southern Arizona CEO of the Year in the large company category. He's so active in this community, including the Pima Community College Foundation Board of Directors. He's very much involved with the United Way. And his latest honor, he's been jointly recognized by the Arizona Commerce Authority and the Arizona Technology Council with their Transformative Leader Award for the state of Arizona. In handing out that award, Arizona Technology Council CEO said to address an increasingly competitive job market in the technology industry, organizations across the nation are looking at new and innovative ways to reward and retain their employees. AGM, Howard's company, has provided Arizona technology companies with an impressive model for elevating and supporting their employees' personal goals. Howard, how are you? Thanks for coming in.
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking, and congratulations on this award. As I kind of framed that with the words from the Arizona Technology Council, in this day and age of very difficult to find workers, retain workers, I think the award is very appropriate. How has AGM managed to be a very vital force in the Southern Arizona workforce in this area and this time of difficult job retention?
Well, you know, be honest with you, we're struggling there along with everybody else, maybe not quite as badly, but it's a real challenge to find workers at this particular point in time, as well as to keep them. There's a lot of fluidity in worker movement at this particular time.
What are you doing to find new workers and to keep the ones you have?
Well, I mean, I'd leave it to my HR department to say how we're actually finding them. Although we do, you know, have a, you know, we do ask our employees to think about recommending employees for various positions. And so we have a way for our employees to help us find terrific new workers, and they might find actually one in every three or four new workers by offering an award to them for doing so. But I think one of the ways that we're retaining these workers is by providing them with an opportunity to go back to school on our dime, where by doing so, They not only are working towards their educational aspirations, and by the way, we allow them to pursue anything that they want, even if it has really nothing to do with our company. We just feel that this is the right thing to do, and that every employee should have the ability to achieve his or her dreams, and we want to be part of that.
Am I hearing you say that your company will actually pay the tuition for your employees?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
We will pay 100% of the tuition up to a maximum of $5,250 per year, as is permitted to all business organizations through the IRS's Section 127 code.
But very few seem to take to do it.
Yes, that's really the problem, and I think I think a lot of businesses, you know, they're basically, you know, they look at education as an expense, as opposed to an investment. And I truly think it is an investment. In fact, our company has grown in value by 21 times over the last 27 years. And I think that a significant part of the reason is because we're helping our employees to achieve their dreams. Now, you know, most of their dreams are related to our manufacturing engineering company. But on the other hand, if somebody wants to study, say,
philosophy,
nursing or philosophy or education. I don't think I've had anybody studying philosophy yet, but I would certainly help them do so. And I would fully pay them to help them achieve their dreams, because education is a very inexpensive investment. And, you know, I have some of my fellow CEOs who basically have said, well, Howard, you know, if I pay them to go to school, you know, what happens if they leave me? And
right.
My response is basically, right. Well, if you don't educate them, what will happen if they stay? And I don't think enough CEOs are really looking at the matter this way. But according to Lee Lambert, the Pima Community College's chancellor, he and I sat down a few years ago, and he said, you know, for an organization of AGM size, which is approximately 120 employees, he says, we don't know of another organization where even 5% of the workforce is in school, whereas, for example, pre-COVID in 2019, 27% of our workforce was in college.
Wow. Let's talk about your company, AGM Containers. AGM started, what, back in the 1970s?
It started in 1970 under my parents' leadership. My father had actually been involved with the company from which we emanated, Arizona Gear Manufacturing, since the late 50s. Arizona Gear Manufacturing, right.
Gears.
They made gears, and basically that industry was replaced by analog devices. However, when Hughes Aircraft Company was developing their Falcon missile, now Hughes Aircraft is the forerunner of Raytheon Missile Systems here in town, and when they were developing their Falcon missile, they were looking for. So up until then, containers were always made out of steel. But the problem with steel is basically it's a third heavier and a third bulkier than, say, aluminum. And so they were looking to make the problem for that is that means when they're shipping these such containers, it was very expensive because you couldn't get as many containers onto, say, like an airplane or into a truck. So the invention of the breather valve that was designed by Harrison Browning, the founder of Arizona Gear Manufacturing, all of a sudden containers could be made out of lighter materials, including aluminum. And this made it not only space-saving for transportation and cost-saving, but also within the facilities where such containers are stored.
So AGM is here because Hughes is here originally. That was well, geographically?
I would say that, Arizona Gear Manufacturing was ultimately asked by Hughes to develop this particular product.
There you go.
And Arizona Gear Manufacturing is no longer. Gears were basically replaced by analog devices back in the, I think, like sort of 70s, roughly. And that business went bankrupt at that particular time.
All right, we're going to pause right here. Our conversation with Howard Stewart, President and CEO of AGM Containers here in Tucson. And Howard is the proud recipient of the Arizona Transformational Leader Award. That award was handed out recently by the Arizona Technology Council. The governor handed the award to Howard. Also, the Arizona Commerce Authority was involved as well. All right, Thanksgiving now only a week away. Howard, when it comes to Thanksgiving, what type of pie would you like on the table this year?
Oh boy, I would love pecan pie.
You would like the pecan.
That's my favorite. Because it's so high in calories, I only have it once a year, but definitely my favorite. I'd have several slices.
All right. Well, my friends up at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, can certainly do the pecan pie. They'll do, of course, the pumpkin and the apple. They are waiting right now to take your order. And when you make the order for the pie, why not say, I'd like a Danish Kringle to go as well? That light and flaky pastry to start your Thanksgiving morning would be a terrific way to get the holidays going. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. Open right now for lunch. They open each morning, Tuesday through Sunday at 6:30 for breakfast. But right now, put the order in for Thanksgiving. You will not regret it. It will be the hit of your Thanksgiving table, something from Mona's Danish Bakery. We'll pause right here. Be back more with Howard Stewart. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Green Valley News and Sorita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sorita Sun, it's all right here.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line guests appear courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our guest with me in studio is Howard Stewart, who is the recent recipient of Arizona's Transformational Leader Award, which was presented recently by the Arizona Tech Council and the Arizona Commerce Authority. Howard has been so active in this community. Pima Community College Foundation Board of Directors, they honored Howard recently, and the list goes on. He is the president and CEO of AGM Container Controls. We were talking with Howard in our first segment about some of the history about how AGM started here in Tucson, very closely aligned with then Hughes Corporation, Hughes Missile Systems, which evolved into Raytheon. Howard, talk about AGM. You've got about 120 employees. You were sharing with us how if someone wants more education, you will support that and pay for their tuition, which is really an outstanding contribution, I think, to the whole educational scene here in Tucson, and you're certainly to be commended for that. But I want to hear more about your product line, and it's very diverse, from making wheelchair lifts to containers for missiles for Raytheon. A little bit overview of the product line.
So, for example, Raytheon Missile Systems is our number one customer. And we're on, virtually all of their missiles, to my knowledge. But we, in that regard, we basically make a product called a desiccator, which is a container that holds desiccants like molecular sieve or silica gel. And these basically dry various parts of the missile that need to stay extremely dry. For example, the optics pod, which is where the camera system is located, is that missile hurls through space, it would basically fog over like an iced tea glass without our desiccators inside wicking that moisture away from the lens.
Wow.
Likewise, the seeker guidance system is sensitive to corrosion, and without our desiccators inside, that area could corrode. And basically, the DoD's expectation is that every missile not have to be maintained for 18 consecutive years. As such, it's very important that our product go into these missiles so that these missiles don't need to be maintained during that time frame. Besides that, we make, for example, wheelchair lifts for individuals with disabilities to help them access either stages or elevation changes in hotels, like public facilities like hotels, casinos, churches, schools, convention centers, and just all sorts of different public facilities, particularly when it helps getting people up on stage or maybe like down into an orchestra pit. Hmm. Here in Tucson, you can see our wheelchair lift in front of Caruso's restaurant on 4th Avenue.
So when the missile, you make the container that the missile is transported in.
No, we do not. We make just control devices that go on those containers.
Okay.
Those containers are made by lots of other manufacturers around the country, and then they use our control devices on them.
Okay.
That's a good question, though.
Okay, so you do the controls. This is highly specialized work. Now, someone, where are the talent pool? Do you teach folks on the job, or how does it work?
Well, again, when it comes to education,
yeah,
by offering what we do, a lot of our employees grow in their ability to, for example, machine such parts, or they, you know, learn about engineering, they learn about business, marketing. I mean, by having this really healthy relationship with both Pima College and the University of Arizona, we have, you know, we have the internal education system that allows people to basically become more knowledgeable, more capable, and ultimately, and most importantly, more promotable. We're able to do a lot of promotion from within that other organizations are usually unable to do because, yes, their employees are growing on the job, but a lot of time it's really that external education that's happening, you know, like semester after semester, that's able to turn these, you know, employees into really formidable individuals who can, you know, handle any challenge that's thrown their way.
And then from a price point, I assume your business is very competitive.
Yes, I mean, it's we're very competitive, but we're also very profitable. Because we've got such great people who frankly are very efficient in their work, once again, through education, we are just becoming increasingly efficient, effective, profitable. I mean, if you were to look at, I think like the average employee back in 2006 was maybe making, was generating $111,000 in revenue per year. The latest statistics I've seen on that is that we're up at around $275,000 per year, just what, 15 years later.
Per employee?
Per employee.
Wow.
Yeah.
So these are, it's very sophisticated equipment. Now, is it very time consuming to manufacture each of these parts that go on the missile?
Yeah, it's
from beginning to end. What kind of time period are we talking about?
I don't know if I could really state that with any degree of, I would just say that more and more AGM is growing our ability, though, to do a lot of this manufacture in-house versus out-of-house, and that's helpful from the standpoint of we have a lot more control over on-time delivery and quality.
So you do the wheelchair lifts, which seems so different, obviously, from the missile work.
Right.
Was there someone who came to you and said, we need this done?
That's a really great question, Bill. Back in the early 90s, you may or may not remember that this country began to come to a conclusion that we didn't really have any major external enemies. You know, the threat from Russia after Reagan was down significantly, and China was not in the position that they are today, and the Middle East was not not nearly as active, you know, in terms of problems with terrorism and things. So what happened around 1992 or so was the Department of Defense, basically the budget dropped by, I think it was like, over 40% in one year. Hard to imagine. And AGM's fortunes, which were so heavily dependent at that time on the Department of Defense.
Took a hit, I guess.
You know, we took a big hit. We actually had to lay off about 30% of our workforce. By the way, that's the last time that we've laid off a single employee. So we've actually gone now 29 straight years without a layoff.
Fantastic.
But
in other words, during that period, things really slowed down. So you looked for other opportunities.
Exactly. We were looking for basically, how do we get into non-defense markets? Mm-hmm. And so an idea was brought to our company about making, you know, wheelchair lifts, and we started in a limited partnership with someone, and then that ultimately grew into AGM, you know, a new division for AGM.
If there's someone listening to this interview that would like to come and see your operation and perhaps work for you, what would be the best procedure?
They could certainly reach out to me, Howard Stewart, at my email address, hstewart@agmcontainer.com, and I'd love to talk to them.
Do you have a website?
Yes, we have our...
If someone just Googles AGM...
Container. Or our Ascension wheelchair lift, they will find those website addresses, yes.
All right, Howard Stewart, congratulations on all you do for this community. I mean, it's a long list of all of your honors, a new one that you can add to and be very proud of is the one from the Arizona Commerce Authority and the Arizona Tech Council, Arizona's Transformational Leader Award for 2021. Thank you, Howard. I enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. It's El Tour de Tucson time. We'll talk about a little preview of the... we'll talk actually about Rotary International and their ride for polio group. They do such good work. That's coming up next on the Buckmaster Show. We'll talk with Gary Hirsch. He's waiting in the wings right after this.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We're trying to get everybody ready for Thanksgiving with the pies from Mona's, the Danish Kringle from Mona's, and the poinsettias from Green Things. Do they have a large variety of colors? You bet. 3384 East River Road. Go by and see for yourself. Greenhouse after greenhouse. They've been raising these poinsettias all year. They're ready now. Stop by, check it out. Go to their website, greenthingsaz.com. Their sister business on the property is zocalovillage.com. When you're over there getting all of your green things and your poinsettias, stop by Zocalo Village and you will see some beautiful things. Beautiful, handcrafted in many cases from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Some great ideas for Christmas giving, Talavera pottery, on and on it goes. Getting everybody ready for the big day, Thanksgiving, which is 2 weeks from today. The big day for El Tour de Tucson is Saturday. Gary Hirsch is with us on the live line. Gary is the Rotary International co-chair of the Ride to End Polio. And Gary, it's always a pleasure to reconnect with you. How are you doing?
Doing well, Bill. Getting kind of busy as the big day approaches, as you would expect.
Tell me a little bit about Rotary International's connection to this effort to end polio worldwide.
Well, so Bill, that effort goes back many years. In fact, back in 1985, I believe the statistics were, we were suffering from about 350,000 cases per year. The good news is this year is we've seen only four cases. And Rotary was part of a global eradication initiative joining the World Health Organization and UNICEF to make sure that at some point no child had to suffer the debilitating effects of a disease like polio. And I think the fact that many people today are even unaware of polio says a lot about the progress we've made.
And this effort with the connection, the partnership with El Tour now is what, about a dozen years now?
Well, so Bill, interestingly, the direct connection is exactly that. We go back to about 2009, but we actually have to go back farther than that. Mike Harris, who actually founded the Ride to End Polio, was an early supporter of El Tour de Tucson when he was in his role as CEO of the local hospital. And it's really Mike's tenacity in pursuing Richard DeBernardis to promote Rotary and our Polio Plus program as being one of the beneficiaries that could take advantage of El Tour. So in a direct sense, yes, we go back to 2009, but in terms of Mike's efforts, we go back even much further, close to the beginnings of El Tour.
And you've been riding for how many years now?
Rotary, our team, has been riding since 2009 and growing steadily. I think I've been pretty much doing the same, riding or trying to ride every year since 2009.
And you're raising money. How does that effort work? Do you take donations before the ride or what, Gary?
Mm-hmm. It's a really nice system. So those of us who actually put on the Ride to End Polio try not to touch any of the money. And so the way it works is, for example, this year we have close to 100 cyclists who will be riding. And there's several different ways they raise money, but essentially they are a fundraising machine, reaching out to friends, family, and other Rotarians who can actually donate now right through mid-December. And in fact, if any of your listeners have an interest in donating, they can go to endpolio.org and make a donation.
You know, you mentioned, that's just a startling fact, Gary, about there are only less than a handful of cases of polio worldwide after hundreds of thousands. And of course, polio, the number of cases when I was growing up, it was just a horrible situation. And now down to just a handful of cases. Are those in one particular place, those cases?
Well, they're actually in two countries, but two countries in the same part of the world. And you may not be surprised to hear that those two are Pakistan and Afghanistan. But we have very exciting news out of Afghanistan. Under the previous administration, it's been very difficult to get in and do any vaccinating in Afghanistan. But just recently, and I think your listeners will find this interesting, the Taliban has reached an agreement with the World Health Organization, representing this initiative of which we are a part, to once again allow door-to-door vaccination in Afghanistan, which is just a tremendous move forward for us. So this year so far, there have been only one case in Pakistan. And up until a few days ago, there had only been one case in Afghanistan. And that had occurred in January, which is very significant. Because once we see the last case in any particular country, we then enter a three-year window. And if during those 3 years there are no additional cases, then that country is declared polio-free. And so, for example, that occurred for India just in the recent past, in the last several couple of years. The troubling news out of Afghanistan is we actually saw two cases just recently, which resets that three-year clock. But we're very optimistic about this agreement that has been reached with the Taliban.
It's kind of surprising. I mean, on the surface, you would think what we know about the Taliban, you wouldn't think that they would be open to this. So I've got to be very encouraged, as are you. That's wonderful news, Gary Hirsch.
Yeah, indeed. When we think of the Taliban, we don't tend to think of positive development.
No. So overall, El Tour has changed through the years, and you've seen a lot of those changes. There's a new new routing this year. Overall, what do you see for the event?
So we have been very involved, and I have to give Perimeter and TJ a bunch of credit, Bill, because we really have been intimately involved in the workings of El Tour. And I would say this is probably the best organization that we have seen to date, particularly since we have a new route, new aid station locations. They've just done a fantastic job. And I don't want to take any credit away from Richard DeBernardis, who founded this event about 38 years ago, because these things, just like Mike Harris, demonstrate for us with what one person with vision and tenacity can do. But it's worth saying again, I think the new folks at Perimeter have just done a bang-up job of organizing this and communicating with those of us who are involved.
Rotary, like many service organizations, has had to evolve. How has the organization done that, Gary Hirsch?
Can you be more specific, Bill?
Well, I say service organizations, I think, have struggled of late with new membership, and I'm just wondering how Rotary has tried to adapt to that, Gary Hirsch.
Well, what I've seen locally, and I'm a member of the Rotary Club of Tucson, which is the largest club in Tucson. Years and years ago, Rotary was essentially a club for businessmen. Mm-hmm. What I've seen in the 10 or 12 years or so that I've been involved in our club is we're realizing that it's more and more difficult to get time and attention from business people, particularly from younger business people. They're not necessarily used to going to meetings and spending time. And so we're working very hard to attract business people. We're working very hard to increase the diversity of our membership, both with people of color and bringing more women in. In trying to have our club more closely mirror the population of Tucson. And so we are trying to evolve as essentially the society around us evolves into clearly we can stay relevant with our causes. That's not the problem. Mm-hmm. But everybody has many, many choices of nonprofits or clubs or organizations that they choose to be a part of and they choose to support. And so we try really hard to offer a blend of service that has local impact, like many of our projects do, thinking about our car show and our support for JTED, and balance those with international projects, which we do all over the world. And if you have 30 seconds, I'd love to share one of them.
Go ahead. I will carve out 30 for you, Gary Hirsch.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm aware of a peace project we did, and I believe it happened in Kenya, where very much society is still very tribal. And where competing tribes would actually invoke violence against each other. What this project did is it went in and it spoke to the children in the schools. And it brought children together from different backgrounds. And we then used the children to bring together the parents to try and end the violence and try and promote cooperation. And it just seems like such a beautiful way to approach something like that.
Very, very nice story. Co-chair of the Ride to End Polio at the Altour, which will be this Saturday, Gary Hirsch. Thank you. Always good chatting with you, Gary.
You're very welcome, Bill. And if I can just mention real quickly our fundraising total over those 12 years.
Please do.
With the match from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, we have contributed almost $54 million raised in this ride for the purchase of polio vaccine.
That is outstanding. And if folks would like to donate again, Gary, could you give us the website?
I can. If people would like to help, they can go to endpolio.org, and there they can make a donation and help us in this effort to rid the world of this disease.
Gary Hirsch, thank you very much, sir.
You're very welcome, Bill. Thanks for having me.
All right. The Buckmaster Show takes a pause right here. Historian Ken Scoville is waiting in the wings. Really exciting news about downtown and the historic Pima County Courthouse. Ken has some thoughts about that right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This would be a great weekend to take a road trip over to Silver City, where temperatures have been around 60, 65 for the highs, overnight lows around 40. It's just delightful weather. In fact, at the noon hour, 54 degrees. and sunny. So having a great day over in Silver City. That's perfect temperatures to do some outdoor activity like walking in the Gila National Wilderness. It's about a three-hour drive. You will not regret that drive over there. It's a great place, great part of the Southwest, and specifically the Southwest corner of the Land of Enchantment, New Mexico. Visit Southwest New Mexico. Just spell that out, .org, for what to do and where to stay in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. The historic Pima County Courthouse had its grand reopening last week after a multi-year restoration. I have not been over there to check it out yet. Everybody says it's incredible. Let's hear what historian Ken Scoville, who joins us now on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Ken, how does it look over there?
Oh, the courthouse is just wonderful, obviously because I'm involved with historic preservation and have been for decades. The courthouse is beautiful. It's authentically restored, and I was there for the actual grand opening events.
And what is housed in the facility?
Well, it's such a really wonderful, spectacular combination. I think, first of all, to think about the Southern Arizona Heritage and Visitor Center. And it's a wonderful economic engine for Tucson because anyone that's wanting to explore Southern Arizona needs to go to that visitor center for information, which is all displayed and designed for 21st century kinds of connections. And it has a nice display of artifacts that relate to all of Southern Arizona and a very modern facility. But you have that wonderful gateway coming into the courtyard and then into the main portion of the courthouse and then over to the visitor center.
And the January 8th memorial is right outside the door.
Right, just to the west. And it was really interesting because I went to most of the planning sessions for the memorial. And in the back of my mind, I was always worried that it might be a little too big or out of scale with the courthouse. But the scale and of the memorial is just in perfect proportion. It still honors the courthouse. And they finally finished all the memorial gardens. So there's a garden to everyone, each individual that was lost in that terrible event. And so the landscape just looks wonderful along with all the rest of the design of that. It's really come together.
The Gem and Mineral Museum, the U of A Museum, the Alfie Norville, Norvilles have the naming rights to that Gem and Mineral Museum. It's world class, I understand.
Oh, I'm a mineral collector among other things. So I looked at a lot of those minerals when they were in the basement at the Flandreau Planetarium. But the way they have them displayed, and again, when you think about minerals and gemstones and gold, in fact, I should say, I think there maybe would be 40 different sized nuggets of gold that is just spectacular. But what I noticed in part of that grand opening celebration, anybody that wanted to go tour the exhibit, the Gem and Mineral exhibit, could, it is actually Smithsonian grade of display.
Mm.
I couldn't imagine being done presented any better. I don't want to sound like I'm being paid for this, but it is very well done.
Well, the whole thing, it's like one-stop shopping there with the Visitor Center, Visit Tucson, and Pima County attractions and tourism all housed in one location, which is terrific. Ken Scoville, let me ask you, this is not the first courthouse on the site, is it?
No, and I think it's sort of interesting for me and hopefully your listeners that it's sort of been the seat of government since the Presidio.
Hmm.
That the courthouse that we see today is actually built right next to the east wall of the Presidio site, which is actually marked outside, and they have a portion of the actual Presidio wall that was discovered in 1928 inside the visitor center. But it's actually built upon two earlier courthouses, and they sort of mirror the development of Tucson. The very first one in the 1860s was all built out of adobe and stood till about 1880-81, where we built a Victorian courthouse out of brick.
Hmm.
And sort of symbolizes that Tucson started wanting to abandon its adobe tradition and go to a brick Victorian courthouse so that we would be looked at as progressive and modern at the time. And then in 1928, the demolition of that building would bring us the courthouse designed by Roy Place. And truthfully, I would call it embarrassingly beautiful, because we never had a building in our past that was as gorgeous as that building, which is designed in Spanish colonial revival architecture. And Roy Place was probably the number one mover as an architect in Tucson in the 20s through maybe the 50s, and lots of the large buildings at the U of A campus. So he was a major force for architecture.
You have been active in downtown, in restoration of our downtown, since really the mid-1980s. Is this a real milestone?
Oh, I let me see. How would be the best way to communicate that? When I started doing tours and being involved with downtown, everybody was saying, well, we really ought to have a one-stop big visitor center that would really promote Tucson and Southern Arizona. And it took us till just this grand opening to get there. There used to be a visitor center at the Manning House, and then it went over to what was once the Thomas Davis Clinic, which is just on Scott south of Broadway, and then over to La Placita. So it's had this constant movement, but the reality is the courthouse, which is easily our most recognizable, and especially with the Tower Dome, the most recognizable downtown a building, and gives the visitor who's going there really the best of Tucson, and we get them excited about, gee, we ought to add another day and stay in Tucson, not just go to Southern Arizona. So it is the best possible location. In fact, at one time they were going to have a visitor center at Congress Street in the freeway, which I never thought was a good idea. They thought people could go off and on ramp, but you really need people to come and see your town, park the car, and discover Tucson.
Yeah, I would agree. We haven't mentioned the so-called Dillinger courtroom.
Yes, and I wanted to bring that up because we're coming up on Dillinger Days in January. Again, a wonderful restoration of the courtroom. You can go up there, and it looks like you're waiting for John Dillinger to appear. And they have something really, you know, I just sound like I'm a booster, and I am in a way today on this. It is, everything's a surprising level of quality and interpretation. So it'll be a great addition. So for the Dillinger Days, and I'm going to be doing some tours and bringing people over there, people will be surprised. I want to really encourage anybody, and a lot of people come downtown now, but spend a little time at the courthouse. Stroll through the January 8th Memorial, go into the General Miller Museum, and thinking about the Jim and Mendel show and how many people want to see it. And, you know, I think you can be proud about Tucson and its downtown.
So Dillinger and his gang really sat in that courthouse, huh, in that courtroom?
Well, that was where he was arraigned.
Okay.
Dillinger and gang members. And the FBI wanted Dillinger so bad, the rest of his gang went on back east by train. They flew Dillinger out of town.
Yeah. Wow. That was kind of big time in those days, right, in the 30s, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I think our police force was maybe 8 police officers, 8 or 9. It was not big.
All right, Ken Scoville, hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday next week. Always a pleasure to reconnect with you. Thanks, Ken.
Sure. Bye.
All right. Ken Scoville, historian and one of 24 Buckmaster show contributors. Coming up at noon is Buckmaster. And then that's Dave Ramsey following our program in just a few minutes after CBS News. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope everybody has a great afternoon. Be with you tomorrow. Our Friday Focus interview with Laura Conover, Pima County attorney, tomorrow at 12:04.